my snow machine happened to run out of gas, and I sat on my snow machine until it kind of cleared up. Because I was told when you happen to get the last don't move, just sit there and make yourself a tunnel to keep warm. But as the weather cleared up, I seen in the distance, I seen some lights. So I stood on my snow machine chair, and I thought it was a snow machine because they were blinking, and I started shouting for help.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories. True stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
This is George Landlord speaking. I was born and raised at the village on the Yukon Delta, a village called Mountain Village. I'm an Eskimo Yupik from that area. I grew up with a family of 16, and I'm the third son, and I've got two older brothers. I grew up with a large family and a very loving father, and really loved his children. But at age between 3 and 4, I almost went blind, legally blind, but I was put in a little 3 by 5 maybe room covered with darkness, a blanket that surrounded me, and also a special made sunglasses that blocked any light coming in. And I was put in that room for over a month. And this is where I felt like I was really isolated or abandoned. And as I was growing up, we got to have a time to go to church at Mountain Village with a very old pastor that had a discipleship with my dad and his best friend, and this is how my dad got to know the Lord. You know, we didn't have any electrical power, we didn't have any water and sewer, but in that time of living, it was very, I'd say very happy life, I guess. There was no violence, no drinking. Well, due to the elders that were very strict on these subjects, it was a very good, happy memory growing up as a child, not seeing this violence, but to this day now, it's a different story. We used to go out, these wooden barrel skis, we used to take them apart, make our wooden skis and cord them with ice beneath them so we could slide down the mountain, and also ice skating on the Yukon and just playing lap game and just enjoying time as a child. And we just enjoyed these games outdoors, and we also had a very supportive parents that brought us up in how to, not to do wrongs, but I thank God for very supportive parents. My dad was a good hunter. He trapped, he hunted, he fished, and I was there always with him. He was a very special father. Like I said earlier, I was almost blind, and he was there to meet my needs, and at the time, I couldn't speak when I was growing up as a child. I couldn't speak till, I think when I was 5 or 6, I couldn't speak. But then I could, this is why my dad was there to meet my needs, and he was a very loving father. And then growing up with him, fishing and trapping and hunting, we were always together. And I took care of his dog teams, and we just done everything together. Then after high school, we had to go out of village to attend a high school down at Oregon. It's a boarding school. And I went to school for 4 years down there. And after graduating, I was accepted to go to a vocational school at Seattle, Washington. But I wrote a letter and saying that it was too early to come to the school. I wanted a little more time to be home with my family for the summertime, but at that time I had a draft note, just the time when they were having a war at Nam, and then I got drafted into Army, and then after the boot camp and the training, I flew into Nam, over Vietnam, and spent my time over there. We had a small detachable team of men of 21. We were detachable because we moved functionally any place where we were called, and we were out there fighting fires. You know, these incoming rounds where they'd done damage, we were called, so we were just detachable, movable, but we saw some action. One of the terrible things I experienced was the third day when I got there. You know, I never felt the ground shook, because these incomings and had a very bad experience. And the time we had, we fought. And as a young man, I never thought I would get involved with, fighting. But it really shook and tore my life apart. But I thank God for one very lovely Christian in our company. He knew the Lord and we're buddy-buddy system. And he also reminded me that there were some, we call these black market drugs, you know, drugs that you could purchase very easily from the streets. But he also had encouraged me not to buy those illegal drugs. Drinking, I did. Smoking, marijuana, I didn't do it really quickly, but then I done it, but not many times. But I thank God for a Christian brother that was over there. He was just a very close buddy that we're always walking together. I watched his back. He watched my back. While being over there, I had a Western Union telegram message that, as I opened a letter from my mom saying that I should come home for couple of weeks to visit with my dad because he was dying of cancer. I spent my time over there for a couple of weeks, and then I flew back to my company back over to Nam, and it took me a little time to catch a flight from U.S. back over. So then after I got into my company, I walked into my room, and there was a large letter that were all tight and stringy as a huge packets. But I skimmed through my letters. And then I came across another telegram. And I opened it, and it was a message saying that my dad passed away and they wanted me home for the funeral. So I went to go tell my commanding officer, but we went down to the headquarters too also. And then they were sort of saying that I couldn't make it because I just got back from my leave. But anyway, we talked our headquarters into it, so they let me catch a flight back to U.S. But I was 2 days late for the funeral and the burial. I spent time 2 weeks at home again, and then I flew back again. And then my time was up for to leave Nam, and I went back to U.S., And then as we were living in Mount Willis, I applied for a job for a teacher aide under our president of BIA school. I got hired as a teacher aide, and in the time when I was working, you know, the memories from the war really started tearing my life, and I started turning into drinking. One time, I knew the trail and snow machines, so I took a ride one time a place called Kristallback Mountain. It's in a huge area in a huge mountain out in the flats. But as I was taking a ride, coming back, in my mind, I think I knew the trail. But then I was going back through the main trail, and the snow started coming in, and it got very terrible. And then I thought to myself, I'll still continue making this if I follow this trail, the main trail. But it got so bad, I got lost in a meadow, in a big, huge opening. And as I was traveling, I continued not knowing, but I was going around in circles. My snow machine happened to run out of gas, and I sat on my snow machine until it kind of cleared up. Because I was told when you happen to get lost, don't move, but just sit there and make yourself a tunnel to keep warm. But as the weather cleared up, I seen in the distance, I seen some lights. So I stood on my snow machine chair, and I thought it was a snow machine because they were blinking. And I started shouting for help. And I looked very carefully. There was Mountain Village street lights. So I started walking towards that light. But the snow was so deep, about 3-4 feet deep, I was just falling into the snow. So I was getting tired myself. So I started crawling through the tree line on my belly for a long time. But I made it home safely that evening. One time as I was working outdoors on my yard, cutting some wood, and there was a girl that happened to pass by walking up to the post office, and we got acquainted, and this is how we got to know each other, and we started living together for some years. But and I thank God for a Christian lady that had approached us and said living together was not right, and we were living in sin. So, but on December 9, 95, we came back from a very cold snow machine ride. As we had gone into our home, my girlfriend happened to walk into the living room and turn on the TV. So, and that's the last part of a Billy Graham crusade. So, and as Billy Graham was speaking to the people out there into the world that don't know the Lord, so at that moment, at the same time, my girlfriend and I got on our knees, and we invited Jesus into our life as our Lord and Savior. You know, we were once separated from the love of God, but by receiving Him, He revealed Himself in my life. The mission of Jesus Christ, why He came here as a, born as an infant, because we ourselves are all sinners. We cannot enter the kingdom of God, because John 14 reminds us when Jesus spoke these words, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, only Jesus Christ is the key to enter the heaven. This is why He died on the cross, and He paid for all the sins of mankind. There's no works going to heaven. Just only by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart, you are spiritually reborn, and you enter into heaven just by His name. And then after we had received Him as our Savior, our whole life turned around. We thank God for His strength. We quit drinking, we quit doing drugs, and then we started living for the Lord. And then we started getting involved in the church ministry. At Mountain Village, there was no pastor, so me and my wife were taking some Bible corresponding courses, and we did okay. And then the pastor that used to fly out of Keiko Retreat Center, Rest Mission location, spoke with the field director for the church, and we got to live at the parsonage to mind the church services and also the parsonage. And we were there for a year and a half, and the pastor spoke to us about getting involved into Bible studies at Keiko Retreat Center, and we said yes. So we moved up in the month of October, year 2000, and we attended those classes monthly for a week. And in about 3 years, they had a one-time board of directors meeting at Keiko, and they called us in to get involved as staff of Keiko to minister to our native people. So the year 2000, from there on, we start reaching and helping our native people and spoke to them about how God changed our lives. And like I said, that we dealt with drinking and we dealt with drugs. But God took that away from our lives, and we're living for the Lord to this day. And I forgot one time. This is a very terrible experience. I thank God for Him watching over me. I fell on a Yukon opening in month of December. A friend of mine, we were traveling down by snow machine in the dark, coming down from a village called St. Mary's, and riding home to Mountain Village was about 22 miles on the Yukon. And that month, the Yukon was frozen but had no snow. But as we were coming home, we came into very terrible wind that evening. As we were going down from St. Mary's that evening, we knew there was an opening, but the wind from the north drove us further out from the main trail and drove us out towards the center of the Yukon. And we were going good, we were traveling pretty good speed, and there was no time to put on a brake car, there was no snow. As we were traveling down, I suddenly saw some water splashing, and we drove right into that opening. But my snow machine fell in, but I jumped out to my left, and my friend jumped out to his right, and then I found myself neck high in the water on the river. But I swam over to the edge of the river on the ice. But as I was trying to get myself out of the opening, the ice keep breaking alongside, so I done that. I don't know how long, but I got tired. But I left my left arm on the edge of the ice to catch my breath. But then that gave me an idea when I was trying to take off my jacket that was wet and frozen to the ice. It didn't want to move, so that gave me an idea to lift myself out. So a few seconds I used to leave my jacket on top of the ice, and that brought me out of the opening. But further, when I got out of the ice, my friend from far was calling me. He calls me Brother George, and I call him Brother Peter. I heard him calling, and as I had glanced at him, he was neck high and going down under, because he was on the edge of the ice where the current was going down from down to Yukon. He was at that place and almost went down. But then he told me not to get near to the ice because he would break. I said, no, I didn't mind, but I reached for him and I pulled him out. We walked home 17 miles. And that evening was minus 35, which the chill factor was about minus 70. But we walked home in that night, and just about maybe a couple miles away from Mountain Village, we were getting in a stage of hypothermia. We walked arm to arm, holding each other's. We walked good 10, 15 feet, and then we started falling down, and then our walking started getting shorter and shorter because we were getting in a stage of hypothermia. And then as we were walking, on the last time when we fell, we got up, and as we were walking in the very dark light, in the dark, we seen a light that just blinked. And ever since that time when we seen that light, we don't know where the strength came. We just started walking, even though we were so cold, we just made it home walking. So I thank God, I think He protected me for to be used in the later days of my life to reach my native people. Many of my native people don't know the Lord, but I think He kept me safe to be used later days to reach my native people and tell them the story of Jesus Christ. To this day, I cannot walk without Him by turning Him to prayer daily. I totally trust in Him that He would do the things, meet my needs and take care of me, protect me. He's so trustworthy and just loving. He wraps, like this is a story I heard one time, illustration story. A chicken will have many chicks, and the mother of a chicken will protect its chicks by wrapping its wings around the chicks just to protect them. And this is how Jesus Christ does. He protects you and just wraps his loving arms around you. It's kind of a sad when people that don't know the Lord, because it comes in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, saying that there's two places that we will enter. It's either into heaven or to a place called hell. The Bible also teaches that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gives you eternal life to be with him. And the book of Revelation said there'll be no more sorrows, no more tears living in heaven. But then also in the Bible says hell is a, it's kind of a hard word, but the Bible says that people that don't know Jesus Christ will be there eternity. So you have a choice. If you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to receive him. You know, I was once separated from the love of God, but he forgave. I thank God for forgiving all my sins. He cleansed me. Now I have victory in Jesus Christ.
God can forgive you too, and he wants to. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've been. If you will turn to God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, he will forgive you. He can do this because Jesus paid for your sin's penalty when he died on the cross. That's how much he cares for you. Listen to God's word. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you'd like to know more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.